I'm turning now in the Word of God to the Gospel of John, chapter 15, and reading verse 5. The Gospel of John, chapter 15, and reading verse 5. The words of Christ. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. And my title for this morning's message is Life Without Christ. This is one of Christ's remarkable I am sayings. It's the last of his I am sayings. Such amazing, such profound statement of Christ. I am the vine, you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. This is the, well, just to give a little bit of context to this great declaration, this great statement concerning himself. This is the night before the crucifixion, where our Lord Jesus Christ would give himself for sinners on Calvary's cross. He is eating the Passover meal with his disciples. That is the last meal he would have with his disciples. And he has many things to say to them before he is before his great mission, the climax of his mission, where he will give his life for sinners on Calvary's cross. And he has so many things to say to them. It begins from the Gospel of John chapter 13, and it continues right up until, this chapter and further on, where he's speaking to his disciples about the things that they need to prepare for. He will be taken away from them soon. Bodily, he will not be with them, but he will be with them by his Spirit. Otherwise, he would have never have said, abide in me and I in you, because he wouldn't be with them for much longer. But they needed to realize that even though he would be bodily absent from them, he would be with them throughout their entire lives. He would be with them by his Spirit. And this is the case with everyone who comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ personally, who comes to know the Savior as their own Savior. They're given new life. They're given spiritual life. They no longer serve their own interests in this world, but they live for Christ's kingdom. They live for Christ's cause. But without their Savior, without him, they can do nothing. They cannot serve him as they ought to serve him. They daily need his supplies of grace. Well, in this analogy, Christ compares himself to a vine. He is the vine, which the branches of this vine, it's a grapevine, these branches produce grapes. But if one of these branches is snapped off the vine, well, of course, it's obvious. It cannot produce anything. It will wither away and die. And so he compares himself to this life-giving vine, giving life and sustenance to the branches so that they can grow grapes. But without this vine, these branches snapped off will wither away and die. They will be good for nothing. And so he draws out this application concerning all of us in verse 6. Yes, this passage is primarily applicable for those who are already disciples of Christ, but there's a principle here that applies to all people. Verse 5, I'm the vine, or verse 6, I beg your pardon. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. The implication of this verse is quite shocking. And if it wasn't true, it would be a very audacious thing to say. Without Jesus Christ, I'm a worthless person. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, I can do nothing. What a statement. What a controversial statement that is. But the Bible teaches. And this is one of the many truths in what Christ says here. The Bible teaches that Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, created the world. Of course, the Trinity, the triune God, was involved in the creation of the world. But we're taught in the scriptures that Jesus Christ himself was the main person of the Godhead who created the world. By him, all things were created. And so without him, we can do nothing. And that's quite literal, because he is the one who sustains every living thing. He sustains all life. And, well, people may object to the statement of Christ, and they may say, well, I can cope quite fine without religion. And what they mean by religion is the Bible. And so many people have these wrong concepts about the scriptures, and they think, I don't need the Bible, I don't need God and Christ. But they don't realize that the Lord Jesus Christ is their creator. He's the one that causes them to breathe oxygen. He's the one that created oxygen and this world and the universe. He sustains their very being. He causes the seasons to continue, the cycles of life and the systems that make this and the laws that make this world and universe operate. He sustains all these things by his power. We learn in Colossians chapter 1, for example. He is the triune, with the triune God, the Son upholds all things. And while he was on earth, we look at the gospel record, we see clear evidences of his divinity, that he was divine, that he was none other than God in the flesh. The demons were terrified of him because they knew he was their creator. He calmed the winds and the waves. He had power over nature. He cured all manner of impossible diseases. So although most people live independently from Christ and they do as they please, yet without him sustaining their lives, they will cease to exist. Well, I am taking this verse slightly out of context because this is not what Christ literally means here by saying, without me, you can do nothing. But this what he says here is true on many levels because he is the creator. People can't do anything without him. I may not acknowledge him as my Lord and Savior, but if he wanted to, he could withdraw my breath at any moment. So quite literally, without Christ, I can do nothing. I can't walk, I can't see, but he causes, he upholds every neutron, every atom in the universe so that I can. He's so long-suffering and patient with even those who ignore him and treat him with contempt. But what he really means here in verse 5 by saying, without me, you can do nothing, is he speaking to his disciples? Yes, without me, without my grace, you cannot serve me in my kingdom as you should. But but this principle applies to everyone. Without me, you will not be given this grace which will open heaven's doors for you. Without me, you cannot have eternal life. You will not be able to enter into heaven. You will not be able to enjoy the fruits of the Spirit, which are mentioned, which Christ describes here in chapter 15, bearing fruit. If I come to Christ, I will bear these fruit. Well, what are some of these fruit? Well, I just turned to a passage of scripture elsewhere, and we're told of this fruit. It's in Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. Well, I don't actually have time to turn to this list, but love, joy, peace, hope, so many blessings, so many fruit of the Spirit that we receive when I do come to Christ. And this is, people do experience these things to some extent without Christ. We are capable of love. We are capable of hope, but not in its full comprehensiveness. This can only be enjoyed and appreciated in all its powerful comprehensiveness and fullness when I come to Jesus Christ. So although I may be able to function in society without being reconciled to Christ with my Creator, for example, I may be a CEO of a very successful company, yet without Christ, there's a massive, profound aspect missing from my life. There's a huge chunk missing from life. We're told in another gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 4, that mankind, we as human beings, cannot live on bread alone, but from every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We need food and shelter and these things, but we need so much more as human beings. Animals have food and shelter that's sufficient for them, but because we're made in God's image, we need food for the soul. We need spiritual sustenance. And so without this grace, without abiding in Christ, our lives, this is the implication of this principle in this verse, our lives are severely limited. our lives, I am incomplete as a person without this grace, without abiding in Christ. Christ is the umbilical cord of the soul. And without being in personal communion with Christ, my soul is dead. It's spiritually dead. I can't pray to God. I can't have a relationship with him. I can't know his blessings. I can't know the many benefits of being a child of God. So he is the very source of life itself. So we need to investigate the implications of this. Christ, in effect, is warning us in this verse that without me, you can do nothing. I can do nothing concerning what matters most in life. We can do all kinds of things in this world. We can be successful at different things. But without Christ, we can do nothing concerning what matters most in life. We cannot achieve these things at all, because everything that I live for will eventually be taken away at death. I've already mentioned in this passage, we're given the fruit of the Spirit. And we cannot benefit from we may have these things to a small degree, love, peace, although it's a superficial peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. But these things aren't even seen as important before I'm converted, before I come to Christ. In our modern world, and this is generally the case in every age, but especially in this age, in our modern world, everything is about the outward appearance, is about the outer life, focused on reputation. And these virtues today in our society, if I read off these virtues, people don't think anything of these things. They think them as irrelevant. They're brushed aside. I'm more interested in accumulating things. I'm more interested in things like money and material gain. Or there's noble things that we go after as well. I want to have a relationship with someone. And some of these things are perfectly good and right and noble. But without being connected to my Creator, that which I crave for meaning in a relationship. I desire love and these things. Without being connected to Christ, love, joy, peace, in all its comprehensiveness, will be severely lacking in my life. And this is the deception of our own hearts. We think that by living a life as I choose to live, not responding to the call of the Savior, not coming to Christ, surrendering my life to him, I think that I can enjoy these things. I will be able to be satisfied. I will know contentment. According to what this verse teaches, we can't. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not possible without being connected to him. And although it's not stated in this verse, it's taught elsewhere that without the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no true peace. There is no genuine, profound love or fulfillment and purpose. Without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you won't know genuine purpose and meaning. You won't know love in all its wonder and comprehensiveness without being connected with me. For example, even in our relationships, without the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, I have the capacity to love, but because I'm a sinner and because I'm disconnected from my God, there's the depth, that depth of love is missing. There's no sacrificial love, as we witness on Calvary's cross. So much of what the world calls love is cheap, is a cheap brand of what God offers. It blows hot and cold. This kind of love often breeds resentment and bitterness and greed in relationships. Why? Because without Christ, we can do nothing. Without Christ, we cannot love as we should. We cannot express it to others as we should, because we're rebels against God. Without Christ, I don't have the moral strength to love other people as I ought to. Without his grace, without his love, I cannot love as I should. And it's often the case, the consequences of this is, so many people live in a world of bitterness and heartache and pain because they're not connected to their Creator, to their Savior, who could flood their souls with such love that they have grace to love, even love those who treat them with contempt. And when relationships become difficult, I have such a pity and grace, even for those who might treat me with contempt. And they're moved by these things. But what about meaning and purpose in other areas of life? Well, sadly, it doesn't fare any better. When we peel back the onion, the ultimate reason why so many of us run after the things which this world advertises as needful, there are many things in this world. Well, there are things which we need in this world, of course, but there are so many things which we run after, which we so desire, which the world advertises as needful, which is actually detrimental to us spiritually, which causes us great harm. And the world may advertise these things as evil, I mean, as needful, but they can be very destructive. For example, the need to, well, retail therapy, the need for more things. I already have dozens of shoes. I need another pair. I see this pair. I must have it. And there's the constant need to be preoccupied on social media and so on. And people have the desire, and nowadays there's so much variety. You can have a satellite TV with hundreds of channels or hundreds and hundreds of channels, and people feel the need for these things. Why do I have such a craving for these things? And the latest game consoles and so on. Why do I feel the need for this? The reason why I have this desperation and need and craving for these things is because I don't have Christ. Without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you'll be desperate. Without me, you'll fill this empty void within with toxic and spiritually dangerous things. Without me, you will suffer greatly. Without me, you'll be increasingly restless. And so this is really the principle here in this. There are other principles as well. So no matter what the world offers to satisfy this inner hunger, this restlessness that we have in our hearts, it cannot keep us promises. It cannot pacify. It cannot take away the sense of anxiety and restlessness that so many, which people without Christ in society feel. They feel the sense of restlessness. They feel the sense of anxiety, and they're looking everywhere to pacify, to find contentment, but they never will. Why? Because without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you cannot experience that contentment, that true peace, that love, that all these blessings. Without me, there is no such thing as true purpose and satisfaction. These things are impossible outside of Christ, who is the very essence of our physical life and spirit and spiritual life. It doesn't matter how many, it doesn't matter how popular I may be. It doesn't matter how many friends I may have. It doesn't matter how well my situation may look outwardly. I may be very stable financially and health-wise, but without Christ, the stain of guilt remains. And that's really the real issue. This is the underlining issue. The real problem I have is guilt. The guilt remains on the record in God's books. And I don't realize this. This restlessness I feel, this anxiety I feel, this deep longing for more, this unrest, this meaningless existence is because of the guilt I have. I have a guilty conscience before God. And the consequence of our sin is the cause, dear friends, of all our sorrow and pain in this world and in our lives. Think of an illustration of someone who has a sports car, a very nice-looking sports car, the type of sports car that causes people's heads to turn. Not me personally, but many people, when they see a sports car drive past, they stop what they're doing, and their mouth drop open, and they're almost like they're salivating looking at it. Well, some people do this, but imagine a beautiful looking sports car, but then the engine packs up, it doesn't work. And so, but this person doesn't know anything about cars, and he does everything outwardly to make it work. He washes it, he waxes it, he gets more accessories to make it look more impressive, he changes it and gives it new wheels. He does everything conceivable outwardly to make it work. But the problem is that it's an internal problem. It's a problem with the engine. And no matter what you do outwardly, it's not going to run. It's not going to move. It's not going to work. And it's the same with us. people trying to deal with this dissatisfaction, trying to deal with life's problems without Christ, without the Creator, going to all kinds of things, and in our day and age, experimenting morally, changing the moral laws of God, thinking that this can pacify the void they feel within. But in fact, they're making things a million times worse. They're waging war against the conscience. That's what they're doing. And as a result, suicide records shoot right off the record when they do this. But this is what happened. Or the illustration of the man: he's doing everything outwardly to make this car work, but it's the problems with the engine. And we do everything in this life to try and prove our lot, to try find contentment and meaning. But without coming to Christ personally, without coming to God for forgiveness, without coming to Him to get rid of this guilt, because that's the real issue, the guilt. That's the problem. That's what I'm feeling. It's a spiritual problem. Nothing outward will help me. I need pardon. I need the Lord's forgiving love, and nothing else will do. And this is the reason why the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world. He had to come. Well, he wasn't forced to come. He could have judged everyone, but he was moved with great compassion and love to come to this world 2,000 years ago to deal with the problem of our sin. The truth is, dear friends, we're in serious trouble with our Creator. I look at my own life, I look at the world around me, and I realize that this world is under God's judgment. It is under His frown. This world is in serious trouble with their Creator. And if I have not yet come to Christ, I am in great peril. I am in trouble. But God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And we are wicked. We don't have. We sin away our years. We're rebels against Him. But God, we learn in Scripture, He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He takes no pleasure in sinners. Even at great cost to Himself, such an exceeding great cost, He would rather pour out grace and mercy. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, none of us can be justified before God. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, not one of us can go to heaven. We are justified solely by what He came on earth to do, this great mission of His. We're justified solely by what He did on Calvary's cross, not by our church attendance, not by the good things we do. No, by what He did on Calvary's cross, that critical event in human history when the Son of God took upon His own shoulders the full weight of all my sin. He was judged in my place. It was the greatest transaction ever made in human history. Sometimes you hear of great transactions, but this is the greatest transaction where God, the Son of God, took the full weight of my sin, and I received mercy, grace, forgiveness, that great transaction on Calvary's cross. He was punished and condemned in my place for my years of selfishness, for my years of ingratitude, for my years of rebellion. He took the punishment instead of me. That's what happened on Calvary's cross. Well, how do I become a beneficiary of this grace? Well, we're given a hint here in verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I must abide in Christ. That's the answer. How do I do this? I must realize the mission of Christ, why He came to this world. I must realize that when He was bleeding and dying on that cross, He did it personally for me. He had me in His mind's eye and all His people. And I must make this personal. Friends, if you don't make this personal, oh, friends, I feel sorry for you. You must make this personal. It must move your heart. Have this deep conviction of sin. Lord, I'm a sinner. I cannot go through life without Thee, let alone eternity. And I must believe that when He died and suffered on that cross, He did it for me. He suffered my hell so that I don't have to go there. So if I look to Him, repent of my sins, I will be forgiven and blessed. I will go through difficulties and challenges like everyone else, but He promises to be my Savior, my Shepherd, and see me through. He will bless me and see me through to the end. Think of this picture, friends. Think of this illustration. The vine, and I am a broken branch, detached from him. Why would you want to remain that way? A broken branch, detached, away from God, onto eternal judgment. Receive Christ's invitation, and don't let anything in this life get in the way. Amen.